is taken from John chapter 1, reading from verse 29 to 42. In your pew Bibles, it's on page 1074. It will be on the screen. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. This is the word of God.
Thanks, Pearl. Well, good morning, everyone. Let's just pause to pray for a few moments before we reflect on this passage together. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. Thank you that it's life-giving and is able to influence and change lives. And so we pray, Lord God, that you'll speak to us through it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if how many here so far have been able to go and see the film 12 Years a Slave. Hands up if you want to see 12 Years a Slave as yet. Two. It's worth going to see. It's not for the faint-hearted, but it's got nine Oscar nominations, and it's a very powerful portrayal of slavery in America. And it tells an incredible story, and it's based on a true life story of one particular individual who was caught up in slavery. But however much you watch this film, however much you take in the dramatic cinematography, the emotion of the story of this individual, you can only just get a tiny glimpse of what it must have been like to be a slave for 12 years. First-hand experience is so much more powerful, isn't it? We can read the poems or the reflections of those who served in the trenches in the First World War. We celebrate the 100th anniversary this year, or mark the 100th anniversary. And we can read the words and sense the drama, the pain, the concern, the raw emotion. But again, we can only just get a tiny sense of what it's all about. And then what about for us? Nothing quite compares to the experience of welcoming a new arrival into the world, the moment when a child is born, the moment when your son or daughter is introduced to a big, wide world. And I could wax lyrical for quite a while about that whole experience of becoming a dad and all of the emotion, all of the roller coaster ride that that is all about. But actually, it's the experience itself, that first-hand experience, which has the power, that has the life-changing impact. On Thursday night, there's an opportunity to hear from the team that went to Clarens in South Africa back in the autumn, and they'll be sharing down at Quakers Road on Thursday about their experiences. And that will bring back to them something of what they felt as they travelled and as they met people and as they engaged with communities. And we'll seek to engage with that and think about what it might have meant for them. But again, it's the first-hand experience that really makes a difference. Let's just pause for a moment or two. And I just want you to think of a powerful experience you've had in your lives. Something that's had an impact on you beyond just the moment. And just share that with the person next to you. And try and describe just in a few seconds what it felt like, what the experience was, and what it actually felt like and the difference that it made. Okay, so just for a few moments, an experience from your life. Can be anything, can be something fairly trivial, can be something that's actually totally life-changing. You've got 30 seconds. I'd imagine it's a shame we haven't got time. It'd be good to hear from the front some of those experiences and the effects that they had on people's lives, the way in which our lives are different because of those things. Well, this morning, we're each invited to experience firsthand the life and the person of Jesus. And I can tell you about that, but my words cannot fully portray the extent of just what it's all about. And as we look at our Bible reading, we've got various people who are pointing others to Jesus, or Jesus is calling them to himself. And so we've got John the Baptist pointing others to Jesus. And some chose to ignore him, some chose to follow. And when Jesus himself spoke to the two men who were walking a few paces behind him, when he turned round, he invited them to discover for themselves who he was with the words, "Come and you will see." If we'd looked a little bit later in chapter 1 of John's Gospel, we would have found Philip saying to his brother Nathanael, "Come and see." Andrew is the first named disciple of Jesus here in John's Gospel, and he points his brother to Jesus, effectively saying, "Come and you will see." And his brother had the choice to make as to how he would respond. "Come and see" is the invitation. It was the invitation to those early disciples, and it's the invitation for each of us. It's also an invitation, if we know the love of Christ, that we offer to our friends and neighbours. This morning, the parents and godparents of Thomas and Toby and Zachary are effectively saying to their children, "Come and see." The children are too young, these boys, to make any sense of things now. But as they grow up, parents and godparents are committing to help those boys to discover who this Jesus is, to experience firsthand. And if we're going to respond to that call of Jesus, we need to do several things. We need to examine the extraordinary claims that he makes, the claims reflected in his teaching. And it's a teaching which critiques the values of our society big time. Because in Jesus' teaching, we find that in a materialistic world, his message is one of generosity. In a pleasure-seeking world, his message is one of sacrifice. In a power-hungry world, His message is one of servanthood and humility. And in a very selfish and individualistic society, his message challenges us to put others before ourselves. And so as we think just about those four areas, we realise that responding to Jesus is no soft option. And then the call to come and see demands that we reflect on his miracles, on his life, and we consider the significance and the implications of his death and his resurrection. And then we make our own minds up. But why choose to follow as those early disciples did? Maybe it's because Jesus offers purpose, sense of direction. He offers us hope. He offers us meaning in what is often quite a mixed up world. And we find that in Jesus, we're able to fulfill more of our potential. We see that with Jesus' encounter with Simon Peter. When Jesus looked at Simon, he saw a person with plenty of flaws and weaknesses. There were lots of areas where growth was needed. But he saw much more than that. He saw what Simon could become. And so we heard those words directed at him. You are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which then translated is Peter, both of which names mean the rock, the dependable one. And as we read through the Gospels, we see the way in which Simon, with all his weakness and inadequacy, became a rock and became one of the key leaders in the church. His encounter with Jesus was totally life-changing. As I think back to my own teenage years, before I became a Christian, very little sense of my own value, quite insecure, lacking any degree of confidence and purpose in life. And yet God brought into my life significant people who encouraged me and pointed me to Jesus. They shared their own experience of him and helped me to discover for myself, a bit like Andrew did with Simon. And my eventual choosing to follow Christ began a journey of realization as to the person that God had made me to be. The depths of his love for me became more real. So as we meet this morning in this place, I don't know how we each feel about ourselves. How aware are we of our own frailties, of the past mistakes, of our own character flaws? Because the good news is that if we choose to follow Christ, we're not defined by those things. He looks at us with overwhelming love and sees what we can become. He sees the hidden potential. Although we may not walk with him physically as these early disciples did, the life-changing power of Christ can be seen in our lives. And so as we pray this morning that Thomas and Toby and Zachary grow up to discover their hidden potential in Christ, it's an opportune time for each of us to consider Jesus' call to us to follow. If we've been following him for a long time, where has it led us? What are the experiences we've had? How do we know that he's there with us day by day and leading us forward? How will we respond to his love day by day? Because it's a daily choice as to whether we follow him. And if this is something we haven't thought about much before, just consider that call of Jesus. The Jesus who says, you may not feel great about yourself, but I see the potential in you, and I love you and want the very best for you. And he expressed that most fully in his willingness to die for our sake. Just like most things, there's nothing like experiencing faith firsthand, experiencing Jesus' love firsthand, knowing how deeply we're loved by our Creator God. Let's just pause to pray, and then we're going to sing a song which, if you feel able to join in with, it speaks of the call to follow. So just reflect on the words as they appear on the screen in a few moments, and let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the great love you show to us in Jesus. Thank you for the reminder this morning of a way in which Jesus called others to follow him, the journeys he took them on, the ways in which their lives were transformed for good. And Lord, as we hear this message, help us to reflect on what it means to respond to that call to follow you. Thank you that to each of us this morning, you say, come and see. Work in us, Lord, that we might understand what that might mean for us and how we might indeed follow as you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.